This is KUT. The Austin School District has its own unique history when it comes to school integration. It involves multiple federal lawsuits and different strategies to desegregate the schools. Many students were bused across the city to schools on the other side of town. West Austin residents went to East Austin schools and vice versa. Saturday marks 60 years since the U.S. Supreme Court ruled separate but equal is unequal in the landmark case Brown versus Board of Education. KUT's Kate McGee has the story of two friends at one East Austin high school who probably would have never met without integration.
If you think about it, it's a miracle Richard Reddick and Ryan Scarborough ever met. In the late 1980s, Scarborough was a white student from Austin's Northwest Hills neighborhood. He was bused to Johnston High School on the east side.
There were really no options. It was, if you were in a particular part of the neighborhood or area, you were bused to Johnston.
Halfway through high school, Austin ended crosstown busing. A federal court ruled it had successfully desegregated public schools. He could have gone back to his neighborhood high school, but he decided not to. If he had, he probably would have never met Richard Reddick, an African-American student from the opposite side of town. He came to Johnston his junior year when Austin redrew school boundary lines.
Everybody would say to me, like, man, do you know Scarborough? You need to meet that guy. He's really, you know, he's on top of his game. And so we met at some point, and then, you know, we hit it off instantly. So we became friends really quickly.
They even made Austin news headlines their senior year when they organized a press conference after the school board wanted to change the name of the high school.
We don't have cool alcohol or tobacco stories or marijuana stories. We hold press conferences illegally. That's what we did for fun when we were in school. Yeah.
Reddick, who is now a UT professor, says the two teenagers wanted the name Johnston High School to remain. Here's Scarborough.
Not because there was any love for a Confederate war general, but really because there was such an identity with the school and that name. It wasn't anything more than our love for that school.
While many people's most vivid high school memories are football games or prom, Scarborough and Reddick say what stood out for them was the student diversity. Located in a predominantly African-American neighborhood, Johnston's population in the late 1980s was much more racially and economically mixed, mostly because of busing.
Being a lawyer now and knowing what Brown v. Board of Education stands for, that really was the perfect manifestation of that Supreme Court decision.
There was a pretty even mix of Hispanic, Black, and white students. It seemed to be the golden age of integration.
I was friends with people I never would have met otherwise because these were people who did not live in my neighborhood. These were people who did not have the same amount of money that my parents had. These were people who would not have had the same kinds of opportunities that I might have had. And we were all together in one place, being taught by the same teachers and playing on the same sports teams.
That's an example of that sort of cross-racial, cross-socioeconomic, cross-city friendship you made.
Looking at his old yearbook in his office, Reddick remembers just how diverse Johnston was.
On the cover, you got this picture. And there's Vinny and Jason and Rochelle and Ernest. Like, you just see these naturally diverse groupings of students, and it's just the way it was. Nobody was making a point. We were just that way.
Plus, teachers and students took pride in that diversity. Teachers organized a march with Cesar Chavez and constantly reminded students about the school and the neighborhood's history.
I don't want to make it sound like it was, you know, heaven on earth. It certainly was not, and it wasn't perfect school in a lot of ways, but, you know, I saw low-income kids who were high achievers and low achievers. I saw kids that were Latino and Black who were high achievers and low achievers. Like, you couldn't walk away and say, I don't see this group represented in this population. You could always argue the percentages. There were more low-income kids and Latino and Black kids in the low-track classes than they were in the high-track classes, but we were there.
Today, Johnston is now called Eastside Memorial High School, a school that educates mostly low-income minority students. 2% of students are white. Scarborough says when he looks at the lack of diversity in his children's school, he recognizes how special his experience was in high school.
as I look back on it now, and I look at the kinds of schools that my kids go to, I don't see the same level of socioeconomic mixing that I experienced when I went to high school.
Reddick says it wasn't till he became a researcher that he fully realized just how rare Johnston High School was. He's sending his children to the new public Montessori school in Austin next year with the hope that they'll have a similar experience. Kate McGee, KUT News.